Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger DJ, Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color Only on CNM Radio, where I will speak the truth to the black nation. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the mainstream liberal black agenda. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or you'll find yourself in danger of the curse of the fruit bats. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat-free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Well, hello, everybody out there. Hope today finds you doing well. I hit a couple of bad buttons over here. That's why the show was a little cranky there a few seconds ago. But we're here, and good to see you guys again. We're back with another edition of Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. And if you would like to call in, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 478-5284. You call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But I will give you a word of warning. No excessive profanity. No ad hominem attacks. No character assassinations, things of that sort, no trolling or gaslighting. I want real honest conversations on this program. You don't need to turn this into a kindergarten's sand slinging sandbox wrestling match or anything like that. You know, we're adults here. We can speak to one another as adults, and whether you agree with me or not, there's still due respect that is granted not only from you to me, but from me to you as well. Now, if you think you want to involve yourself in those type of childish activities, then you will be in for a very short time on this program. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. You know, at the end of the day, we can just agree to disagree. But if you're going to come on here and you're just going to come here to make a fuss and whatever, then you don't, this is not the show for you. Okay, so trying to get everything together here. Once again, getting all this rust off from the holidays. Did a show last week, turned out pretty good. And I almost wasn't ready for today's show. You know, Blog Talk Radio. If I go into my show and I schedule a show for 5:30, I'll press the button that says 5:30. My show won't come on until 7:30. You know, I don't understand that. I had to go all the way back and press 3:30 to make sure my show comes on at 5:30. Because for some reason, their timing is off, or I don't know what it is. I guess it's something I can bear with, you know, but I just have to be mindful that every time I do a show, push the 3:30 button instead of 5:30. Because I almost didn't make the show today because, you know, I pushed the wrong button. And when I looked up and I saw what time my show was coming on, I was like, oh, wait a minute. No, you know, and I had to go in there and, you know, get all that taken care of, get all the bugs worked out there. But we are here. And for those of you all in most of the country, I hope you all are staying warm out there. It has been cold here lately, you know, but fortunately for some of you all, y'all got snow. We didn't get any. Now, I was told yesterday that in North Durham, Durham is a city where I live, but they said north of Durham, they had snow. But we didn't get any snow where I live. The part of Durham where I live, we didn't get any snow. And I'm looking forward to snow because it's been a while since we had a very good, significant amount of snow in this area. I think it's been since 2018. We may have gotten some light dusting or anything like that, but anything significant. It's been about 6 years since we got anything really significant around here. You know, everybody else, we look on the news, everybody else, they're talking about digging out of snow, and they're talking about, you know, most of the nation digging out of snow. I'm like, well, it ain't this part of the nation because we didn't get jack. And technically, I'm not a person who likes snow. I'm not really a big fan of the snow. I guess that's because when I was a kid, you know, living in D.C., and we used to get some banger snowstorms up there. And, of course, me and my brother had to go out there and shovel the snow. We didn't like that too much. Didn't like it too much. And I guess that, you know, produced some type of psychological disorder in our brains telling us snow is bad. But, you know, I'm starting to change, you know, about the snow because, you know, sometimes the snow can give you a unexpected rest when you probably need one, you know, like from your jobs and everything. Not saying that I don't like to work or anything like that, but sometimes that snow can be a welcome sign and tell you, hey, it's some time to get you some rest and whatever, which, you know, lately I feel like I've been needing to get a lot of rest, you know, because you know, sometimes I, you know, you work and you come home and you don't go to bed at a certain time that you're supposed to. And it adds up over the week. So, you know, but anyway, it's been kind of quiet news wise, if that's a word, lately here. The news cycle has been somewhat quiet. Of course, we know this is a new year. This is an election year, presidential election year. Of course, congratulations to Donald Trump for winning the Iowa caucus. You know, I didn't think he would blow everybody away like he did. You know, I was just, you know, Monday night, I was just getting ready for work the next day. And my wife said, honey, you know, Donald Trump won the Iowa caucus. And I was like, really? So soon? You know? And I didn't even, you know, because I'm getting tired of all the political wrangling and everything. And I've gotten to the point where I'm just tired of, you know, the politics. And so I'm like, you know, whatever happens politically, I'll catch it on the news tomorrow or, you know, pull it up or something like that, you know, but I'm just tired of the political wrangling that goes on, the mudslinging and, you know, he said, she said, you know, the hypocrisy and everything. And my wife told me, said, Donald Trump won the Iowa caucus. And I, you know, I said, well, let me check this thing out. And I looked on the TV, Donald Trump, he didn't win. He blew them rascals away. I was like, are you kidding me? Donald Trump, I think he got 51%. 51% of the votes. The next highest was, I think, Ron DeSantis, and he just barely got 20%. And then, you know, Nikki Haley was third. I don't even think she got double digits. And then Vivek Ramaswamy, he was fourth. He was a distant fourth. I mean, really, and you know, it wasn't long after that Vivek said, you know what, I'm just going to give this thing up. Go Trump, you know. And I was like, wow, you know. And basically what I saw from the Iowa caucus is everyone else just needs to drop out. really. It's not going to be. I don't think the rest of the candidates have a chance in defeating Donald Trump for the Republican vote for I don't think they have a chance in gaining the Republican vote for President of the United States. I really don't. I saw that. I said, oh, it's over. It's over. And the thing that got me too was, how come no one is challenging Joe Biden? That's one thing that got me too. I was like, how come no one is challenging Joe Biden? Now, see, this happened with the last Democratic president we had, named one very well-known Barack Obama. When he ran a second time, nobody challenged him then. And I'm like, how come no one is challenging these folks? Now, Barack Obama, he has some type of charisma. You could kind of understand why no one challenged him. But Joe Biden, even his own Democratic constituents are saying something's wrong with this guy. He has some type of cognitive disability and whatever up there. You know, he needs to be led by his hand. And, you know, he acts like he's not there sometimes. But nobody's there to challenge him. And I wonder about that, which leads me to think that, you know, the Democrats, they got something up their sleeves. The liberals, they have something up their sleeves. They got something that, you know, they're planning for this election. It's almost like they're saying, you know, Joe, just sit right there. You're going to be you're going to be reelected. You know, just sit right there. We'll take care of business like they did, you know, the previous election. Joe, just sit down there. We got this for you. And, you know, through ballot harvesting and stuffing the ballots and, you know, pulling out mystery ballots from unknown places, that was how Joe Biden was able to win the last election. And those of you all who are liberal supports and liberal sycophants out there, you know that's how it happened. You just don't care because Orange Man is not in the White House. The Cheeto Man is not in the White House anymore. You know, y'all go up and you say things like there's no evidence that, you know, there was any ballot tampering or anything like that. Yes, it is. Y'all just didn't look into it. And you didn't want to look into it because if you did and you found out that there was something nefarious going on, you know, you would have been eating your words and your words probably wouldn't have been too tasty. But to be honest with you, yes, I do believe that Joe Biden is an illegitimate president. I will still respect him as the president. I will say, Mr. President, things like that. But he is a illegitimate president. He should never have been elected. He should have never been put up there to be elected. I heard some people say, well, back when he got elected, he could have been a good president. No, no. We saw this long before he became president. And then he makes Kamala Harris his running mate. And I think the liberals knew what they were doing with this. You know, they probably told him to pull her to be his running mate because they knew Joe didn't have enough time. And if Joe goes off the scene, wha-bam, there we go. We got our first black female president, so-called black female president. She's only got a little bit of black in her. She's mostly Indian. And you have people like, you know, these folks on that what was that show, The Breakfast Club? I think the leader of it all is someone called Charlemagne the God, which I don't appreciate that name because you're no God. Him and his cohort saying they're going to vote for Joe Biden because you get Kamala Harris. Now they're singing a different tune. They're like, you know, we want Trump back. And now, you know, the polls are showing that about 30, around the area, 30% of black folks favor Donald Trump. And when my wife told me this, and I saw it for myself, I was like, okay, we'll see come election time. We're going to see come election time if those 30% are really going to stand for Donald Trump. Now, they say if black people sit out the election, that, you know, Donald Trump is pretty much a shoe-in, you know. But we'll see. Because even though it shows a 30% approval rating for Donald Trump through the black folks, it doesn't mean that all those people are going to go to the polls. Some of them going to probably sit at home, which either way, whether they vote for Donald Trump or they just sit at home, Donald Trump will probably win the election. But one thing that really grabs my goat, though, is why it is taking black folks this long to realize that we are nothing but pawns on the chessboard when it comes time for presidential elections. These knucklehead candidates, they get out here and they start telling the black folks what they want to hear. They go to their churches and start telling them about, you know, what we're going to do for black folks and all this crazy mess and everything. And black folks like, yeah, that's who I'm going to vote for. That's who I'm going to vote for. And they vote for them. And then down the line, the very same black folks who voted for them, they start complaining. Wait a minute. I thought you were going to do this. I thought you were going to do that. You said you were going to do this. We're not seeing it. And then the politicians, they get out there, yeah, we understand, we understand. The politicians are not going to do anything for black folks. But yet and still, next election cycle, check out how many people vote for the Liberal Democrats compared to conservative Republicans. They might be screwing us, but we're still going to vote for them because that means if we don't vote for them, we're going to get the Republicans, you know, those conservatives, those people who hate black people and hate grandma and hate women, and they denigrate homosexuals and they want to take abortion away from us. We'd rather have the liberal Democrats screwing us over than for the conservative Republicans keeping their promises and following the laws of the Constitution. Now, I got problems with the conservative Republicans, too, because a lot of them, they, all they're about is power as well. Got a lot more rhinos in the ranks of the Republicans than you can shake a stick at. And right now, the only candidate I really trust is Donald Trump, really. And that's not to say I worship at the feet of Donald Trump or anything like that. Donald Trump is not God. Donald Trump is not a Christian, but as far as I can remember, he is the best president we've ever had in my lifetime. And I was born in 1968, going on 55 and a half years ago. Donald Trump is the best president we've ever had, but people don't like him. That's why you got this debacle going on about January 6th, 2021, all that fiasco that's going on about that, all that political wrangling about that incident, is all because it can all be traced to a simple source, people's hatred for Donald Trump. And they're willing to use that incident. They try to blow it up like it's, oh, man. I heard today, you know, I heard a reporter today, they showed footage of a reporter, a news clip, and this reporter said September 11th had nothing on January 6th. I said, you got to be stupid. No, he's not stupid, but the people who believe that have got to be stupid. You cannot compare January 6th, 2021 to September 11th, 2001. There's no comparison. Only one person got killed on January 6th, and they'll tell you, oh, all these police officers got killed, and I was slipping in blood and all that crazy mess. Only one person got killed. It was a lady named Ashley Babbitt. A white Trump supporter got shot by a black guy. Of course, they're not going to say anything about that, but if she had been a black Biden supporter and got shot by a white person, oh, we would never hear the end of this. Racism this and racism that. My wife and I, we were watching the so-called insurrection on January 6th. And what we heard the news reporter saying and what we saw was something totally different. It was not a riot. Matter of fact, they showed people walking into the Capitol building. The people were walking within the boundaries of the Velvet Rope. Now, if that was a true riot, a true insurrection, they would have been like, man, get this rope out of here. I've seen the videos of police officers letting them in. And the people weren't rushing in like they said they were. They didn't cause vandalism within the boundaries of, you know, except, you know, someone put his legs up on Nancy Pelosi's desk or something like that. They showed you where they had the water bottles. They had packages of water bottles. They had Jiffy Johns up around there. I'm like, wait a minute. This so-called insurrection seems a little organized to me. You didn't see that during the black by color only riots that happened previously, the previous two or three years before then. You didn't see no Jiffy Johns or no stacks of water bottles or anything like that. But of course we want to ignore that because, you know, that was a good cause, you know. The George Floyd riots. Folks, and I'll probably say this every time it comes in my mind, I advise you all to watch The Fall of Minneapolis. You can get it on Rumble TV. You can get it for free. The Fall of Minneapolis. And if you got half a brain in your head, you watch that documentary. When you finish watching it, you'll be like, you know what? Derek Chauvin does not need to be in jail. That is not where George Floyd needs to be. He does not need to be in jail. And I shared this on Facebook, and people are like, oh, you crazy, you crazy, you crazy. Nah. Derek Chauvin and his fellow police officers, one of them who was black, they were thrown under the bus by their police chief, who came up and said, nah, we don't use those type of tactics. We don't train them in those type of tactics. And found out in their own manual, their own brochure, that is exactly how they were supposed to carry out their jobs. And I'm pretty sure some of you all out there were celebrating when you heard that Derek Chauvin almost got killed, almost got shanked to death by a fellow prisoner. And I really do believe that Derek Chauvin is somewhat of a political prisoner and that this might have been planned and that his death may have been planned. And, you know, they may have given some type of benefits or whatever provisions to the person who shanked them. We don't hear about the person who shanked Derek Chauvin. We don't hear about whatever punishment he received, which I believe he should receive, you know, whatever his sentence is. He should receive additional penalties on his sentence. But after seeing that movie, I saw it. I said, nah, Derek Chauvin shouldn't be there. I was sitting there. I was like, maybe on the manslaughter charge, maybe. But after watching that movie, nah, he doesn't belong there. Derek Chauvin was doing his job. And one of the police officers that trained Derek Chauvin, a black man, said Derek Chauvin was one of the best candidates he had ever trained in the police force. Just check out the video. Check out the documentary. It's called The Fall of Minneapolis. You'll see a grieving mother, Derek Chauvin's mother, showing the brochure of how they train their police officers. But you know what? We choose to ignore it. And once again, all of this leads to the hatred of Donald Trump. This happened during Trump's America. Of course, it happened during the time Obama was in office, but no, we're not going to trace that to Obama. Reason why George Floyd happened is because the white supremacists, they were emboldened by Donald Trump. And that's why this happened to George Floyd. Then Black Lives started their rise. And then, you know, the dirt came out about them, about the billions of dollars that they received, but none of it went to help out black folks. And even after they got exposed for their thievery, they still haven't helped black folks. The only black folks they have helped have been themselves. And a lot of you all out there who support Black Lives Matter, y'all still giving them donations. And they're not doing a cotton picking thing for your communities. They're not helping to get black people educated, black kids educated. They're not there to educate you on, you know, don't have kids before you are married. They're not out there for that. They're out there to enrich themselves, buy themselves expensive mansions. Oh, we needed this mansion. We needed this mansion because it gives us a good meeting place. Why can't you meet in a two-bedroom house? And we just let them get by. We just let them get by. But we don't say anything about it. But let someone on the right get caught in some mess, and that's all over the news. Because a lot of us are on the leash of the mainstream media. And when they want us to heal, they just pull on that leash and we'll heal. We'll just sit down and heal. Instead of turning around and biting their ankles, that's what we need to do. Because the mainstream media is the catalyst of all that we're seeing right now. Because the mainstream media, they only want to take one side, and that side is for the liberal Democrats. That's all they care about. All they care about. Because our liberal media is full of a bunch of people who support communism, fascism, socialism. They want to drive us in that direction. And so when they report on the news, they only report on the news that they think you should hear, as if they are your masters. But a lot of us are too stupid to understand it. Let me talk about something that also has Trump derangement syndrome added to it. I'm pretty sure you all have heard of Fannie Willis. She's a district attorney, and I believe in Fulton County. Yeah, Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis. She's the one trying to bring up charges against Donald Trump for tampering with the polls in Georgia, And she brought up these charges against him that, you know, she wants him to be prosecuted. She's basically taking a page from Letitia James up in New York. You know, they want to get rid of Trump. And boy, you want to see someone who has some hatred for Donald Trump. Pick you out any black woman. Not saying all of them like that, but I guarantee you, for the most part, you pick out any black woman and they will have the most hatred for them. I don't think anyone holds as much hatred for Donald Trump as black women do. Liberal-minded black women. Just pick one out. Check out The View. That show with them Harpies on it. And Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar and Sonny Hostin. These people have so much hatred for Donald Trump, they can't even bring themselves to say his name. Whoopi Goldberg says, you know who. No, it's Donald Trump. Suppose someone referred to you as you know who. You'd be calling them racist. But if you want to see some Trump derangement syndrome in action, just pick out any liberal-minded black woman. Just say, hey, I like Donald Trump. And just sit back. Don't say anything else. You'll hear them cackling for days, nonstop, about how much they hate Donald Trump. But Fannie Willis is one of these people, along with Letitia James up in New York. Letitia James, in so many words, she said she want to get rid of Donald Trump. We want to make sure he does not run for president again. Because I guess Donald Trump did something to them while he was president. I don't know what he did, you know, whatever. But here's Fannie Willis. And this is why I tell people, or the term is true when people say, if you live in a glass house, don't throw no stones. If you're going to show up someone else's dirt, make sure your own house is clean. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis was booked on at least two sets of round-trip flights purchased by a special prosecutor with whom she's accused of having a romantic entanglement, records appear to show. Jocelyn Wade, the estranged wife of special prosecutor Nathan Wade, filed an exhibit in the couple's divorce proceedings on Friday, purportedly showing the spending history of a credit card used by Nathan Wade. The document shows Nathan Wade booking tickets for himself and Willis on flights to and from San Francisco and Miami. Now, this is the wife of the special prosecutor, Nathan Wade, that Fannie Willis has unleashed on Donald Trump like a rabid pit bull. Turns out there might be some dilly-dallying going on between the two of them. And from what I hear, the divorce between Jocelyn Wade and her husband, Nathan Wade, is not going too good right now. And she's the one that brought it up and said, my husband has been shaking the springs with Fannie Willis, doing the bingsy bangsy with Fannie Willis. But of course, the Joy Reids and Whoopi Goldbergs and all the rest of them, they're not going to report on this. They're not going to say anything about this. Let it be someone on the right, and it's total news. It's blown out of proportion. But Fannie Willis, apparently, she's been having some dallyings with Mr. Wade for some years now, getting her world rocked. And not only that, she is using him to bring up special charges on one Donald Trump. She gets up in a black church and she's saying, you know, all these allegations coming up against me because I'm a black woman. They love to throw out that race card. And I get tired of it. They love throwing out that race card. When they get caught up in their dirt, people start exposing them for the frauds that they are. Oh, all of a sudden, it's racism. That's why they're coming against me. Not because of the truth. It's because of my skin color. They have no evidence, so-called fact, that that's why people are coming up against them. But it becomes convenient because you got a lot of stupid people who watch the news but don't analyze it. And they say, yeah, they're doing that because she's a black woman. She's a proud black queen. She's a beautiful black queen. We got to protect our queens. Queen, huh? Queens are supposed to have a sort of elegance about them, supposed to have some type of dignity about them. We call Cori Bush a queen. We call Letitia James a queen. Fannie Willis, we call her a queen. I forgot the name of the lady who ran for governor in Georgia. We call her a queen. Call all these women queens, and they're as nasty as you can get. Nasty and hateful. But we call them queens. She's a queen. It amazes me how quiet our mainstream media gets when these people get caught up in their dirt. These liberal black women, queens, or whatever they want to call them. It amazes me how quiet they get when they get caught up in their dirt. But they won't afford the same opportunity, which they shouldn't, to conservative Republicans. They shouldn't be offering that opportunity to anyone. Be you on my side or not. If you do wrong, you need to be called out for it. You need to be called out for it. And a lot of us, we are too stupid to realize that these rascals are using us only for votes. They do not care about black people. Even the black people, the black liberals, they don't care about black people. These people carry the proverbial crab in a bucket syndrome. They done made it to the top. Everyone's trying to pull them down. They're pushing you back. Get away from me. Get away. Go away. Go. Scram. Beat it. They're not trying to reach back down and give you a hand and save you from the boiling pot. They're like, shoot, y'all stay right down there. You do the same thing that I did to get where I am. These people do not care about black folks. And you want to talk about coons and sambos and everything because someone wants to point out the wrongs in the black community? They're your coons and sambos right there. Those people who refuse to put these people on the chopping block. You refuse to put these people on the chopping block because they're black and they're liberal. Did the same thing with Anita Hill when she made those false accusations against Clarence Thomas. All because Clarence Thomas was black and conservative. That's the only reason why they brought those allegations against him. We can't have this man. We got to dig up something on him. And that's what they did. They couldn't find fault with Clarence Thomas. But they found Anita Hill. And she said, you know, something about, you know, some hair on a Coke can or something like that. And everyone's like, see, we told you. He's a degenerate. And ever since 1991, everybody looks down on Clarence Thomas as the worst Supreme Court justice, which I believe he is the best Supreme Court justice we've ever had. The man is a true, dyed-in-the-wool, full-blooded American. But we don't like him because he's black and he dares to be conservative. How can a black man be a conservative? Oh, perish the thought. Well, he is. Live with it. And he's doing a very good job. And, you know, if Clarence Thomas, you know, passes away anytime soon, people will be celebrating in the streets. Oh, we got rid of that devil. And no one can tell you what the man has really done to earn their derision of him. They can't tell you. What has he done? What has he actually done to make you so angry at him? Oh, I know what it is. It's because he's black and conservative. That's the only reason why you don't like Clarence Thomas. He's a Sambo. He's a coon. He's a sellout. But you really have no reason to make those accusations against him. Because someone told you that being a black person and a conservative is bad, and you just went along with them. One seal barked at you, and you decided to join the cacophony of barking seals. Oh, oh, oh. That's all you all done. And all of what you're seeing going on politically in this world today, all that you see going on, is it all leads to one thing, one man, Donald Trump. You all hate the man so much. You are willing to do anything to make sure. Trust me, you think 2020 was bad. Oh, they got something up their hands right now, up their sleeves right now. They're planning something right now. That's why I believe, I could be wrong, but that's why I believe that Joe Biden is going unchallenged right now. Cause they have something up their sleeve. They're like, Joe, hey, don't worry about leaving the White House. We got your back, man. We got your back. Here, let's pour some more apple juice in your sippy cup. You just sit right back there. Lie down. We'll turn on some Netflix for you. Throw a blanket over you. We'll give you some applesauce while we're at it. Just sit down, relax. We got this for you. And you may sit there and say, oh, Vincent, you sounded ridiculous. Oh, am I? Am I? No more ridiculous than saying that January 6, 2021 was worse than Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. What's up with these major incidents happening in a year that ends with one? Pearl Harbor, 1941. September 11, 2001. January 6, 2021. January 6th was nowhere near as horrific as Pearl Harbor and 9/11. Nowhere near as horrible. But because of our news media out there droning and pushing this narrative on a daily basis, everyone starts to believe it. We believe it. They say you tell a lie long enough, you keep it pumping out there to the masses, and people will believe it, and people believe it today. And the problem isn't that they believe it. The problem is they believe it, and they won't investigate it for themselves because they know the masses are stupid. They know the masses are stupid. They know that. They're not going to sit down and say, okay, I hear what you're saying, but let me check it out. Let me check out to see what you're saying. Be honest with you, even when it comes to myself or anybody else, your initial response should be a level of distrust. It should be. That doesn't mean you need to stay there, but it means you need to go and check it out yourself. Look at the evidence. Dig up the facts. Don't just take someone's word for it. That's what I tell people with myself. I say, don't just take my word for it. You hear my voice over on the airwaves and whatever. Don't just say, I believe Vincent. Nah, check out what I'm saying. Because let me tell you something. I don't know everything. Now, if it's the truth, I'm going to stick with it. And you might not believe it, but just check it out. And you'll find out, oh, man, he knows what he's talking about. I'm not as eloquent and as, you know, flawless with my sentences and as a lot of other reporters are or anything like that. But trust me, I'm going to try my best to give you the truth. My style might not be the way it might not be comparable to anybody else's, but what I try to do is give you the truth. I'm not trying to give you my opinion. I'm not trying to give you my, you know, just push my point of view. Check out what I'm saying. The same way you need to check out all these other people. When you hear them over the waves and whatever, check them out. Check out what they're saying. Find out the truth. Don't just let that man, that handsome man with the suit and the $500 tie and the perfect teeth just preach to you what's going on in the world today. Don't let that fine woman with the hip hurt. With the hip-hugging dress and the two-foot spike heels, with her pretty face and her done up makeup and everything, don't let them preach to you without you going out and saying, "I see what you're saying. Let me check it out. Oh, you're cute." That doesn't mean I'm going to believe you. Let me go out here and check out what you're saying. Let me see that what you're saying is actually the truth. But a lot of us won't do that. We won't do our due diligence to go out there, and it doesn't really take that much. But see, this is the reason why they're trying to cheapen our education and trying to push all these political points at us, all this wokeness on our kids, because they want you to believe what they're telling you to believe. They're pushing the wokeness. They're pushing, you know, gender identity over learning how to read. They're pushing transgenderism over learning your timetables. This is what they're pushing to our kids in school. And a lot of us, we see the school as being nothing more than a babysitter for our kids while we chase after our careers. So when our kids come home in the evening and we come home from work in the evening, we have no interest on what's the word I'm looking for? We have no interest on backing up their education. We have this attitude of, that's the school's job. That's not my job. The school teaches my child. Not me. I got a career to chase after. I'm not going to make my household conducive to learning because that's something they need to do at school. That's the teacher's job, not my job. And then when their child is failing, they want to get mad at the teachers. Why is my child failing? You're not doing it. No, you're not doing your job. Your children have to have conducive to their learning. Minus all the media influences. I would even go so far to say, if you're going to watch the news, don't let your children watch them. I'm not saying that if your children watch them with you that you're wrong, but I would recommend that. Don't let them watch the news. Don't let your children watch the news. You watch the news. You can watch the news and see. Then you can go around and you say, hey, you know, I see what they're saying on the news. Let's check this out. Boom, 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 boom. And not only that, when your child goes to school and your teacher is teaching them gender identity and all that crazy mess, and that's okay for Heather to have two mothers, and that is okay for a girl who gets pregnant to just abort her baby to save her career. You say, come here, Junior. Come here, Susie. Come here. Come here. Let me tell you what the truth is. Your teachers may be telling you one thing, but your teachers are not always right. This is why I'm for homeschooling. If you can, homeschool your kids. That's why I support homeschooling. I'm at the point now where I don't even support private schools, because some of the private schools, they teach the same thing the public schools are too. They might be a little bit better than the public schools, but a lot of those teachers in the private schools, they're learned in the ways of the public schools. You know, people pushing Christian education, which is a good thing. I really do believe that Christian education is a very good thing. But a lot of those teachers who are teaching your children in the Christian education, they learn their skills through public education. And that's what they're going to push. That's why when you go to a lot of these schools, a lot of these private schools, they teach the kids the same thing they do in the public schools. They're taking discipline out of all the schools. See, if you homeschool your child, you have a sense of responsibility for that child. Now that child is like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, you're like, okay, I feel an obligation to get their education instead of just going to work and letting somebody else educate my child. Now you have a sense of obligation. And why I say what I do about the private schools, because I used to teach in one. I wasn't the main teacher. I was a teacher's assistant. And what I saw in the 2 years that I went there, I was like, oh, this is no different. They're basically taking the power out of the teacher's hands and basically giving it to the students. Johnny acts up in school, throws a tantrum, turns over the teacher's desk, stabs a fellow student with a pencil, goes around cussing and everything. They take him to the principal's office, give him a snack. 5 minutes later, he's right back in the class. That's not discipline. Now the mantra is don't fail these kids. Don't fail them. Just let them go on. Just pass them on to the next grade. Because we're trying to raise a generation of dummies that we can mind control through the news media. That's basically what they want to do. They keep telling you, throw money. You know, we need more money for education. That's why our kids are so stupid. But it seems like our kids are getting stupider the more dollars we throw at them. What's up with that? And a lot of us, we're too stupid once again to realize, wait a minute, they keep asking for more money for education. But I look at the statistics and our kids are getting further and further behind other kids around the world. What's up with that? But we don't do that. All we care about is chasing our careers without realizing that, you know, without much of an education, your children are not going to have a career to chase after themselves. So in a way, a lot of these parents are being selfish. All they care about is themselves. They don't care about their kids. And if you're one of those parents, you need to give your child up for adoption. Put them in a foster home. Give your child to somebody who's going to care about them. Because a lot of you parents, you're not going to get involved in your kids' education. You're not going to get involved in your kids' education. That's not a priority for you. Your priority is to feed them and send them off to school. That's the only priority you feel for them. What kind of a parent are you? Back in my day, parents would go inside their children's heads. Johnny, what do you mean bringing home an F? All right, okay, Johnny, let me tell you what. There'll be no TV, no priority. You know, we're going to take away your video game. No, no. Excuse me? Are you defying me? Okay, well, let's go into my bedroom. Let's take care of this right quick. After a few stabbings of pain in that backside, Johnny understands, okay, all righty, I better do my work. I better get my work done. And I'm not talking about abusive parents either, because abusive parents, you're not doing it. You're not helping either. And when I talk about abuse, I'm talking about physical and mental, because physical and mental abuse is no way to get your child to get there to be a productive citizen. Yes, children do need discipline. They need their backsides warmed a couple of times. But some of you all, y'all just go so crazy on your kids. Some of you all don't have patience with your kids. I remember when y'all remember Schoolhouse Rock back in the 70s and 80s, you know. They had those little cartoon shorts. They taught you, you know, your timetables and parts of speech and everything and stuff like that. I remember, you know, the one everybody remembers, I'm telling you, the one everybody remembers is conjunction, junction, what's your function? Everybody knows that one. And, you know, me and my brother, we were watching it on Saturday morning. I think this was in 77 or 78. We were in third or fourth grade. And we were watching that, and when it was over, my mom called me and my brother into the bedroom, and she said, okay, well, what's a conjunction? We couldn't define what a conjunction was to her, and my mom let us have it. And she may have said, you know, something like these stupid kids of mine, something like that. That didn't help at all. Instead of being patient, now I know what a conjunction is now. But she wasn't patient. And I was like, wow, you know. And it was like we had just thrown a rock through a neighbor's window or something. She was hot. She was ticked off because we couldn't define to her what a conjunction was. And, you know, like I said, some of these parents, I would say they probably mean well, but I can't stop thinking that if they were in the same situation you were in and someone treated them the same way, would they like it? That's why I'm not too permissive of that. You know, people say, well, you know, they did the best they could. Yeah, but if they were in that same situation, they wouldn't like it either. They wouldn't sit there and say, oh, mommy and daddy, they really care about me. No, they wouldn't. They know they wouldn't. They know if they were in that same situation, they wouldn't like it. You know, and we need to get rid of this toxic positivity. You know, well, your parents are just doing the best they can. No, the parents shouldn't be doing that to their children. You say whatever you want to. Parents shouldn't be teaching their children like that. And see, what I see in the education of our children today, it's more like too much to the left and too much to the right instead of striking an equal balance. You have to be patient with your children. You can't knock them upside the head for every little mistake they make. Oh, your child tripped on their shoestrings, which I don't think a child could trip on their shoestrings, but just go with me on this. Your child tripped on their shoestrings, skinned their knee, and you're over there slapping your child upside the head because they should have had their shoestrings tied. Being a child is a learning process, and they need someone who's going to be there patient enough to teach them how to learn the ins and outs of life. Accidents happen. Your children get hurt. Oh, you're this stupid kid always tripping. No, you're tripping. Teach your children with patience. Yeah, they get out of line, you know. They want to get smart. They want to get fresh with you. Yeah, put something to their backside, but don't get bloodthirsty about it. Anyway, that's the end of the first hour. Time for me to do some little advertisements, and when I'm done, hope you all will join me for the next hour. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Alright, folks, let's get ready for this second hour. You know, before I left, I was talking about, I think I kind of got off the rails a little bit, you know, talking about education. People probably need to hear that, though. But basically what I was talking about was Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis and some of her dilly-dallying she's been involved with, the bingsy-bangsy and the shaking of the springs she's been going on with this special prosecutor Nathan Wade. And let me just go on and continue reading this article. The new filing came one day after an attorney for Willis accused Jocelyn Wade. Jocelyn Wade is the estranged wife of Nathan Wade, who's been accused of, you know, having an affair with Miss Wallace. Accused Jocelyn Wade of trying to interfere with the district attorney's election interference case against former President Donald Trump and other defendants. Now, see, that's the problem right there. There's your problem right there. You're interfering. Look, I'm trying to get rid of the orange man, and here you come talking about what I'm doing and everything. I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to get rid of the Cheeto man. That's all this is about, is a hatred for Donald Trump. Jocelyn Wade is seeking to question Willis in the Wade's ongoing divorce case and filed a new exhibit in response to Willis's claim. Until Friday's filing, no evidence of the alleged relationship has been made public. Oh, boy. How they say it? Hell have no fury like a woman scorned. Oh, yeah. Jocelyn Wade come to spill the beans. Yeah, this has been going on. And I'm going to show it to you. I got the proof right here. Taking these trips to San Francisco and Miami, I wonder if they even walked down the streets and, you know, checked out the homeless population and said, you know what, you know, we need to get together with our buddies to do something about this. You think they did that? No. And see, what I'm noticing about a lot of these people who are elected to certain positions, you know, especially liberals, any other way, they wouldn't be able to take these trips, you know. But now they got access to taxpayer dollars, and they can reach in there and come up with any excuse. Oh, this is a business trip. And they can say, hey, let's take a trip to Hawaii. You're a cute guy. I'm a cute lady. Let's solidify our relationship in a hotel room. Oh, I've never been to Hawaii before. I've never been to Key West, Florida. I've never been to the Caribbean. Let me just dip in here to the taxpayers' dollars, taxpayers' hard-earned dollars. Taxpayers getting up early in the morning and coming home late at night, make a living, and you charge them these taxes and everything so that you can have something so the government can have all this tax revenue to get their jobs done or whatever, get their little pet projects done, and here you are dipping your hands into it and using it for your own personal endeavors. Willis was first publicly accused of being romantically involved with Nathan Wade last week in a filing by Michael Roman, one of Trump's co-defendants. Yeah, you gonna call us out? We got some dirt on you, sister girl. Let me continue with this article. Oh, wrong way. Uh-oh. Trying to pull this page up. Okay. Roman alleged in a motion that Willis and Wade carried on an improper, clandestine personal relationship while Willis paid him more than $650,000 over several years on the case. He claimed that some of that money was used for Caribbean cruises they took together, as well as for trips to Florida and California's Napa Valley. Now, what's in Napa Valley that you need to go there for? What benefit is that going to do for your case against Donald Trump? What's it going to do for you, for your case against Donald Trump? Let's continue. That same day, Willis was served a subpoena in the Wade's divorce case. Her attorney called the subpoena an attempt to harass and damage Willis's reputation. No, she's harassing and damaging her own reputation for ever having relations with Wade in the first place. Willis's office has said it will respond to Jocelyn Wade's accusations in a filing due on February 2nd. A hearing on the matter is set for February 15th. How many of you all want to bet that those dates will pass by and we won't hear one thing about the mainstream media reporting on this? How many of you are willing to bet? A spokesperson for Willis did not immediately return a request for comment on Friday. Many of the filings in the Wade's divorce proceedings are sealed. A coalition of news organizations, including CBS News, has filed a request to unseal those documents. I don't know why they always seal these documents. The public needs to know. The public needs to know the attitude and the personalities of the people that they voted for. I don't know why they're always sealing everything. Willis defended the decision to hire Wade. Yeah, she hired him, all right. who had not previously prosecuted a complex racketeering case. During a speech at an Atlanta church on Sunday, she called him a superstar who has impeccable credentials. Yeah, I bet they are impeccable. Noting that he has been a lawyer for 2 decades and a municipal judge for 10 years. And Roman have each pleaded not guilty to racketeering charges in a case that accuses them and others of plotting to illegally overturn Georgia's 2020 presidential election results, and Donald Trump and his colleague are not guilty. It is unclear what, if any, bearing the accusations against Willis and Nathan will have on the case. Probably, I don't think it would have much, you know, because, hey, these are liberal Democrats. These are superstars. Oh, she's a black woman. He's a black man. Oh, man, nah, we're going to get behind them. CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman says that allegations could have consequences whether they're proven or not. I do not expect this case to be dismissed and go away, but it's not out of the question for a different prosecutor and a different prosecutor's office to take charge of the case to simply remove the taint of the appearance of impropriety, she said. The controversy has caught the attention of Trump's attorney in the case, Stephen Sadow, who posted about it on the social media network LinkedIn Friday. Proof, look at pages 12 through 15. Travel and hotel records of special prosecutor Wade and DA Willis, Sadow posted, sharing a copy of Jocelyn Wade's filing. And that's the end of the article. But you see what they're doing. They're going out. They're doing the damage. They're trying to fix the damage. They're going out here. They're like, they're only doing this because I'm a black woman, and you know, and all this, and you know, got to sing at the black churches and whatever. And while I'm on the subject of black churches, let me say something while I'm on the subject of black churches. Let me just say this too. Black churches disgust me. Not simply because they're black churches, but they disgust me because they care more about politics and their skin color than they do about doing what's right. And they love when these candidates, these liberal Democrat candidates, come to their churches and stand in their pulpits and, you know, sing about racism against black people. They love it. And don't realize that those very people that look like them, that are in politics and whatever, just using them to get votes. That's all they're doing. And people say the black Christian churches keep following that. I don't really believe that these people are Christians. The majority of black churches, I'd say, and I'm just guessing, I'm just giving a ballpark estimate of what I think. I believe that only 5% of people who attend black churches are actual Christians. That's what I believe. I do not believe most black churches are run by Christian preachers. When Stacey Abrams came to Creflo Dollar's church that time, and Creflo Dollar said, "Oh, look, there's Stacey Abrams in our church." Everyone was clapping and he encouraging people to vote for Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams believes in abortions. She believes in transgender rights, homosexual rights. That dude that ran against Herschel Walker, I don't forgot his name already, called himself a preacher. But he supports abortion on demand. Abortion is murder of a human person. But we still want to sit here and sing the hallelujahs and thank you Jesuses and everything. That's why I believe only 5% of people who attend black churches are actual Christians. And I'm gonna be bold to say something right now. Whenever you go to a black church and they're singing and shouting, "Oh, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus," be informed that most of those people doing that, if not all of them, are bound for hell. Because they come in here, they come into the churches, they jump, they shout, they confess they're going to get their breakthrough. But when the keyboard is unplugged and the lights are dimmed in the sanctuary, you see a different thing. When Jesus said that the children of this generation are wiser than the children of light, that can be applied to the black churches, because the black churches, they go the same direction as black non-Christians. But see, here's the thing about a lot of black non-Christians. They're smarter than people in the churches. I listen to them. I see them on YouTube all the time. And I listen to a lot of these black commentators, these black conservatives who are not Christians. But I'm like, well, dog, what you're saying, we should be saying in the Christian churches. I listen to this guy on, I listen to a couple of guys on YouTube. One is Anthony Brian Logan, and another is Greg Foreman, who runs a channel called Black Conservative Perspective. These guys are not Christians. But they say the very same thing that Christians should be saying. And so many of us in the black Christian churches, we're so caught up in, you know, civil rights and celebrity worship. When a Stacey Abrams comes to our church, we're like, oh, that's Stacey Abrams. Oh, yes, yes. And they don't realize that Stacey Abrams knows that she goes to a black church and, you know, she just sprinkles a little breadcrumbs on them. Oh, she's going to get their vote. But she really doesn't care about you. She don't care about the church. She does not care about the church. They get up there. They might read a few scriptures. They don't come out of the Bible, though. They don't come out of the Bible. They read some scriptures from the Bible, but they don't have a Bible laid out in front of them. Al Sharpton and William Barber and all the rest of them can come to your church, and y'all sit there, oh, yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then you all vote for people who support the very things that the Bible is against. You know, the Bible talks about shedding hands that shed innocent blood. That can be applied to abortionists and those who support abortionists, who give them that power to do that. But, oh, y'all don't care about that. You care about civil rights and reparations and getting an upper hand on the white folks. That's all you care about. You don't care about the truth. You don't care about the truth. Bump the truth. We got civil rights. Civil rights is our answer. We'll invite the church in because it makes us feel good. But we don't, nah. Yeah, we might be black. We don't care about the black churches. We don't care about black folks. All we care about is your vote. Please give us your vote. And see, that's the thing, too. Whenever the election cycle comes around, the Democrats know one group of people whose vote they can count on, is black folks. They know it. They got black folks eating out of the palm of their hand. If nobody else will vote for them, because pretty much everybody else is down the middle, you know, you might have a few on this side, a few on that side, but black folks, every time the presidential election comes up, what percentage of black folks vote for the Democrats? Anywhere from 91 to 97% of black folks vote Democrat every time. And they've been doing it for 60 plus years, going on 70 years. They've been doing it in Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, and their cities are getting worse and worse. Crime is going through the roof, but they still vote the Democrats. Look at the city of Detroit. Detroit looks like it will never recover. Look at Baltimore. People talking about, oh, Baltimore is going to become a major IT hub. Not if it continues going in the direction it's going now. And then you have these cities that are run by black people. And a black person gets pulled over by a police officer, you know, cops an attitude and gets shot and killed as a result. And everyone wants to cry racism. But your city is being run by black folks. Can you explain that? Most of the people who run Baltimore are black folks. And I hear it all the time, you know, not just in Baltimore, but in other cities. Oh, the black schools don't have the same thing, the same resources that the white schools have. That's why we're at a disadvantage. But you got black people in your city council. You got black people as your chief of police. You have black people all in your government, all in your infrastructure. But all you want to say is, oh, the white people just want to kick out the black people. That's why they gentrify. And who approved the gentrification? Some of your black leaders in your city approved the gentrification. They just want to get rid of black people. They just want to get rid of black people. People were saying that about the Cabrini Green project in Chicago, got torn down, whatever. And everyone's like, oh, they just want to get rid of the black people. Guess who was on the commission to get rid of Cabrini Green? Guess who was on that commission? One, Michelle Obama. She approved of it too. But nobody said anything about Michelle Obama. I mentioned that on this show a couple of years ago. And this dude gets up here talking about, oh, well, she was intimidated by the white people. Intimidated by the white people. That's stupid. She wasn't intimidated by the white people. Don't give me that garbage. Thank you. Thank you, CCO. You're a new one. Thank you. But Michelle Obama. She was one of those people on a commission to get rid of Cabrini Green. But nobody accused her of being a coon or a sellout or anything like that. Nobody accused her of that. But we always talking about what the white man is doing. The white man doesn't want us to get ahead. That's why we can't, you know, these black groups out here, you know, the IUIC, the Black Hebrew Israelites and all that. And one group in the Black Hebrew Israelites is the IUIC, Israel United in Christ. They're those guys that go around in the purple and gold shirts yelling at folks. I call them the purple yellers. They're over there talking about, you see black people owning anything? You see that? Well, you got some black people that own businesses and whatever. You got some black billionaires. You got some black millionaires here, too. Pretty good deal of them, too. The white man is holding us back. The white man this and the white man that. No, you're holding yourself back because you're sitting there crying about what the white man is doing, and you're like, okay, well, I can't do nothing because the white man is going to take everything from me. Instead of working with determination and saying, I'm going to make something of myself. Look at Ben Carson, brain surgeon. Herman Cain. Oh, gosh, man, I wish Herman Cain had become our president. Oh, my goodness. That man was more American than anybody. I wanted to meet Herman Cain in person. Never got that opportunity. Oh, my goodness. He would have been the – I think Herman Cain would have been the greatest president. I think he would have been a greater president than Donald Trump is now. And that's saying a lot. That's saying a lot. These guys were successful black men, and they didn't let white men hold them back. They probably came up against the prejudice. Don't get me wrong. I believe there are still prejudiced white men in this country. But if we're going to talk about prejudiced white men, we need to talk about prejudiced black men too. And yes, black people, if you are under the sound of my voice, whether you're listening in live or on the archives, yes, you can be racist. Just like everybody else. Positions of power has nothing to do with whether you're racist or not. I hear them say that garbage. I've been hearing that for about 10 years now. Oh, we black people can't be racist. We don't have the power. We don't own anything. We don't. You got black millionaires, black billionaires. You got black people running schools, black principals. Shoot, when I was in elementary school from the fourth grade to the sixth grade, had a principal named Mr. Clemens. He was a black guy, big black guy too, and he didn't play. This was in the 70s. You got black people in almost all positions of power in this country, and you want to sit there and say we don't have the power to be racist because we don't own anything? You can be just as racist as anybody else. One of the main reasons why I don't watch the NFL now, I watch the highlights on YouTube and whatever, because in my heart, I'm still a Miami Dolphins fan. Don't shout me down. But I watch, you know, the highlights, but I stopped watching the NFL for the most part because they chose the woke route. And every time I watch an NFL game, even on the highlights now, you see this phrase that says, stop racism. And usually when people think of racism, listen to me clearly, when people think of racism, they don't think about the black on white variety of racism. All they think about is the white on black variety of racism. To them, that's racism. White on any, pick your other race other than white, that is racism. But if those people return the favor back to the white folks, oh, that's not racism. That's not racism. Asian on white, nah, that's not racism. Black on white, nah, that ain't. Indian on white, nah, that ain't racism. And that's why I stopped watching the NFL. The only reason why I watched the Super Bowl earlier this year was this guy at my church. He said, Vincent, can you do me a favor and root for my Kansas City Chiefs? Which, you know, when I was still with the NFL, Kansas City Chiefs were one of my favorite teams. I said, sure, you know. But that's the only reason why I watched the Super Bowl. And the NFL is showing that it doesn't want me to come back, you know, after this mess with CJ Stroud. You know, C.J. Stroud got up there. He started talking about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't believe in Jesus or whatever, look, why does that bother you? Why does that bother you? And C.J. Stroud wasn't even preaching. He just said, first of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then he went on to acknowledge other people, but they edited that part out. The Texans, The Houston Texans, excuse me, the Houston Texans edited that part out, as well as NBC. They edited that part out. We don't want to hear anybody talking about they support Jesus Christ, because people might get offended. So people might get offended if you don't mention Jesus Christ. And they're so woke, you know, ever since 2016 when Colin Kaepernick knelt down and said he doesn't want to stand for the flag of a country that oppresses black people. First of all, Colin, speak for yourself, because I'm a black person. I think I am. I think I've had this skin color since I was born. And I just turned 55 years old a few months ago. And I've never been oppressed. I don't know what oppression you're talking about. Oh, getting pulled over by the police and having to deal with the police. Oh, that kind of oppression. Oh, you're doing 75 miles an hour in a 55 mile an hour zone, and the police pull you aside, and you get an attitude because you think they just pulled you over because you're black. No, they pulled you over because you're speeding. And then you want to cop an attitude with a police officer, resist arrest and try to fight the police officer. And then when something happens that ends up with you getting severely injured or killed, you want to talk about Black Lives Matter. That oppression, Colin, even though you were raised by two white people who nurtured you to the point where you went to a school and you were drafted into the NFL, played for a team, went to the Super Bowl with the team, almost won the doggone thing, and you want to talk about oppression of black people in this country. When your black parent, when your biological black parent didn't even want to raise you, and these two people, these two white people raised you, and then you want to throw them under the bus and say you felt like you were being oppressed by being raised by them. Folks, just because I'm black doesn't mean I'm going to, you know, just give a pass to black folks when they do something wrong. See, I'm about the truth here. I don't care about your skin color. You want to sit up there and sing about, you know, what, and you know, I listen to these people say, we black people go do this every day. I don't. What you talking about? I don't. Oh, you're just lucky. First of all, I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in luck. Second of all, I have lived in black communities, worked for white people, things like that. Coming up in school in the 70s and 80s, the people who used to sing my praises the most were the white teachers. And I may have mentioned this last week when I was in first grade. I was reading on the third grade reading level. But in my years of school, the 12 years I was in grade school, you had black people who were smarter than I was. So that's why I don't take it easy on black people with these excuses. I was never in a talented and gifted program. I was never in the honor roll. I was never in the honor roll. I was smart as a whip, but I was never part of the honor roll. I did just enough to, you know, pass on to the next grade because I was lazy. Smart guy, but lazy. Didn't do his homework like he should have. Didn't study for his test like he should have. So that's why I don't give an excuse to black people. I don't. And the thing that bothers me the most is black people who were raised with me during this time, they're out here singing this whole song that white people are trying to hold us back. You and I went to the same school, dude. Show me the white people who were oppressing us. If anything, the people who oppressed me the most were the black people. Talk about how my voice sounded, because I got a deep voice. Talk about how I walked, how I looked, called me retarded. Black people. And you want to get up here and say that white people are trying to keep us from being successful. We live in the freaking United States of America. People going everywhere you go, people are going to oppose you. People are going to oppose you, be they white, black, Asian, whatever. They are going to oppose you. But if you're going to sit down and let that opposition keep you from getting out and making something of yourself, you have no one else to blame but yourself. You can't blame the white man for why you can't get ahead. You can't blame the white man. You can't blame the white man for that. Every single setback that I've suffered, every failure that I've suffered, I can always trace it back to myself. I didn't work hard enough. I wasn't diligent enough. I allowed procrastination to come in. That wasn't the white man. And see, it's become so convenient for us to blame the white man for everything. When we talk about crime in our cities, when we talk about crime in our communities, we sit there and say, well, it was the white man, the reason why we killing each other like this. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You're doing that to yourself. Well, if the white man didn't bring guns and drugs into our neighborhoods, we wouldn't be killing each other. Don't blame the white man for that. You're the one that accepted the guns and the drugs. Well, I was coming up in the 70s and the 80s. They told us about drugs and how they can mess up your body and everything. First thing that came in my mind was, oh, I ain't doing no drugs. You can forget that mess. They told us about the amphetamines and the hashish and the LSD and the heroin. And they told us about, you know, how some people, they get so dependent on these drugs that they suffer withdrawals to the point that if they don't get that drug, it could actually kill them. The withdrawal could kill them. Shoot, when I learned about that stuff, I was like, oh, shoot, I'm not touching drugs. And guess what? I have never been on drugs because I had the sense enough to realize, I ain't touching that mess. But you know what? A lot of people, a lot of my peers, they tried it. Got on the heroin. I've never so much as smoked a joint. I've never smoked a joint. And it's a lot of people, you know, like myself, they didn't do the hard drugs, but at least they did smoke a joint. I haven't eaten so much as smoked a joint. Haven't touched an alcoholic beverage since 1986. That was when I was a freshman in college. It was illegal for me to be drinking anything anyway. But I haven't touched an alcoholic beverage in my entire adult life. Stuff is nasty. Now, I'm not saying that if you're drinking wine or, you know, whatever, that you shouldn't be doing it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't touch it. If you drink it in moderation, I have no problem with it. But if you drink it like, you know, you're just trying to drown out your problems and everything, yeah, that's a problem. I've never fired a gun. I'm thinking that it's becoming a necessity to own one, really. I really do. I really do believe it's irresponsible if you have a family and you don't have a gun. I really do believe that. If you don't have a gun, that's fine, you know, but I do think it's irresponsible. I don't have one, and I'm feeling kind of irresponsible because I want to protect my family because I see too many incidents where people, if they had just had a gun, it would have saved them a lot of misery. I've never had to use one, but I don't want to get to that point where I have to use one and I don't have one. But they're trying to get rid of the guns. They want to blame the NRA every time a school shooting happens or whatever. Oh, it's the NRA. It's the NRA. I never heard the NRA say, yes, buy a gun so you can shoot up a school. The only reason why the NRA gets the flack that they do is because they're supported by the Republicans. And you know the Republicans are evil. They don't care about people. They don't care about our children. But we sit here, we blame the white man for all this. without taking a burden of responsibility and putting it on our own shoulders. We want to put it on someone else's shoulders and say, you're the reason why black people can't get ahead. The reason why black people can't get ahead is because we have so many opportunities in the best country in the history of the world. We have so many opportunities, but we fail to exploit those opportunities. Everybody else does, and they get further ahead in their education. Why can't black people get ahead? And we always want to talk about the white man, but what about the Asians? We always want to talk about the white man holding us back. What about the Asians? Now, I'm not saying the Asians are holding us back, but the Asians are more successful than white folks are. And you want to know, probably the number one group of people as far as education and getting ahead and success in this country is probably the Nigerians. Probably. Have you ever spoken to a Nigerian? Listen to how they talk. They might have that deep accent and everything. But a lot of them, when they talk, you're like, oh, boy, I need to listen to this dude. Kenyans might not be as successful as the Nigerians are, but have you listened to a Kenyan speak? You're like, man, this person is full of, they know what they're talking about. But we want to sit here and talk about the white man holding up back the black man. He ain't hold back the Nigerians. They got a significant Nigerian population in Houston, Texas, and 2/3 of them are college educated. Ask the Nigerians, do the white people hold them back? But see, we still want to sit on that narrative that, oh, the white man this and the white man that, the white man always wants to hold us back. The white man always wants to hold us back. No, you're holding yourself back, and you're making that excuse, oh, I can't do anything because the white man got all the good jobs and everything. Well, you think you just sitting on your rusty, dusty, watching Netflix all day means a job is just going to drop out of the sky into your lap? You got to work hard. Anything that you want to accomplish, you have to work hard for it. Yeah, you might be born with a talent for a certain thing, but you still got to work hard for it. You think these football players out here in the National Football League, you think they just got up one day and said, ooh, oh my goodness, I didn't know I could catch a pass. Daddy, throw another one. No, they got out there and they worked hard for it. And see, I've heard people say that God gives us a talent. I really don't believe that. He gives us abilities, even if whether we have a talent or not. And I heard someone say something that was very profound one time. They said, hard work beats talent any day. If you work hard at something, stick with it, stay diligent with it, you're going to have a level of success with that. But just sitting around and making excuses and saying, oh, woe is me. I was born on the wrong side of the railroad tracks. My daddy was black. My mama was black. I can't get anything done because the white man is going to do anything. Okay, well then, you just sit there and collect your welfare payments. And when a black person comes up and offers you opportunity or something, don't sit there and say, oh, you got that because you were cooning. You played up to the white man. Because if you worked as hard as your fellow black person did, who is now wearing the suits and driving the cars and got nice homes and everything, you could have been the same one, but you just wanted to sit around and twiddle your thumbs all day instead of going out and saying, you know what, let me see how I can make myself marketable. Let me see how I can go out here and make something of myself. I see everybody else around me, you know, not doing anything. But you know what? I'm going to go out there and make something of myself. Do we do that? No, we blame the white man. Like I mentioned that group earlier, I call them the Purple Yellers, the Israel United in Christ. They get out there, they talk about, look at this. Look at, black people don't own anything. We don't own anything. One day we're going to rise up and the white man is going to be our slave. I'm like, y'all got to be kidding me. And these guys, they go around, they twist the scriptures. And folks, let me tell you all something. Let me tell you all something. These guys, they get up there, they twist the scriptures, and then when I show them, you know, or myself or somebody else will show them, you know, where they're wrong and everything, they want to say, you don't know the Bible. You don't know the Bible. Folks, I read the Bible every day. In the morning and the evening, I read it every day. And a lot of this stuff, this nonsense that they talk about on the streets with their purple and gold or whatever, you know, and they out there yelling on the microphones and things and telling white folks that you have no chance of salvation and all that crazy mess. All of that is nowhere in the Bible, nowhere. Jesus was a black man. Show it to me in the Bible. And then they'll pull up some scripture in the first chapter of Revelation and say, see, Jesus was a black man. But I'm pretty sure that when I stand before God and I'm judged for the deeds that are done in my body, Jesus is not going to say, hey, wait a minute, you got one little caveat. You never thought I was black. How come you didn't push that I was black? Okay, go to that warm area. You did everything else, but you just didn't declare that I was a black person. So I can't let you into heaven, you know, go there where that guy with the pointy horns and everything is. Was it for being judged by God is not declaring that Jesus was a black man. Was Jesus a black man? I don't know. I don't care. They talk about the white Jesus and all that. I don't have a white Jesus in my. One guy tried to challenge me one day. He said, you got any pictures of a white Jesus in your house? Be honest. I said, no, I don't even have a picture of a black Jesus in my house. Why? Because I don't know what Jesus looked like. I don't care what he looked like. All I care about is his teachings, what he taught. And you're sitting there straining at a gnat, but swallowing a camel on skin color. You getting hung up on skin color, and you missing a bigger picture. And then you got these guilty white preachers getting up. Yeah, Jesus, he was a brown-skinned man. Who gives a rip pair of jeans what his skin color was? I certainly don't. And here's my point of view, black folks and white folks, they're going to be really surprised when they stand before Jesus and find out he wasn't the skin color they were expecting. I really do believe that. Doesn't matter what his skin color was. That's not a requisite for salvation. My salvation is believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, hung, bled, and died. Third day, he rose again. And that I'm supposed to live for him. And when I look at the contract, I don't see anywhere where skin color is involved. So you guilty white folks out there trying to kiss black tail, like what's her name? Nikki Haley did this week. Going to the black church, trying to kiss black tail. Y'all stop it. I don't need a white person coming up to me and saying, hey, I am sorry for racism. I'm sorry for what my grandfather did to yours. You didn't do anything to me. And by the way, who's to say that my grandfather didn't own your grandfather? I mean, who's to say that? I mean, for real. We said we get so caught up in the small stuff. We get so caught up in this little petty Annie stuff. And the bigger issues just go over our heads. The crime, the fatherless homes, the lack of education, the drug abuse. And then we want to blame all the problems on black society, on white folks. So basically what you're saying is black people can't think for themselves. That's basically what you're saying. You're saying if you are a black person, you can't think for yourself. The government has to step in and hold your hand and guide you through all of life's difficulties because you can't handle it yourself. You don't have the same thought process as a white person, and you got to sit here and you got somebody has to guide you by the hand. I don't want anyone guiding me by the hand because I can think for myself. I'm a free thinking black man. Now, if I know that you can give me some knowledge about something, I don't care what your skin color is, if you're black, white, or whatever. If you can help me to get ahead in life by giving me some good advice, I'm all ears. Bump your skin color. But that's our problem. We get so caught up in this mess. And we're so caught up in race, and we're so caught up in this. That's one of the main reasons why I don't like going to a black church anymore. Not saying that black church is bad. You go to a black church, it's fine. But I just don't like going to a black church. I like to go to a diverse church. I like to go to a church where you got some white people here, you got some Asians here, you got some Africans here, you got some people from Europe over here. I like going to a diverse church. Some people don't like that. That's fine. But I like going to a diverse church. When me and my wife discovered this church, you know, we were like, hey, okay, this is where we want to go. Because we have been brought up in black churches. You know, I spent 26 years in one black church and found out that they were only exploiting me for what I could do for the church, the reputation of the church. All they cared about was the church's reputation and what I could do for the church, not what they could do for you. Not that I was expecting them to do something for me, but it's always like, you know, you're in this church to plug into this vision of this church, and you're supposed to help out this vision. If you don't help out this vision, you're not going to be advanced, you know, because in some of these churches, they had this hierarchical type of thing, which that is not godly. If you want to get up in the church, if you want to be promoted in the church, they'll look at your giving. And if you haven't been giving enough, quote unquote, to the church, you can forget it. You're going to stay right in your position. And when I saw myself as a dollar sign, I said, I don't want this anymore. Me and my wife, we go to a more diverse church. The people are a lot friendlier. They're not always in your pocket trying to get your money and everything, stuff like that. But that's why I like a diverse church. You know, I like to meet white people. I like to meet Oriental people. I like to meet Hispanic people. This ain't about us. This ain't about us. This is about all of us. We are all made in the image of God. Be we black, white, brown, red, yellow, or olive. We were all made in God's image. God has no favorite races. We are all the apple of his eye. We were all made in his image. And God is not a respecter of persons. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm a preacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. I'm not a pastor or anything like that. But like I said, I do read the Bible. And I don't see anywhere where God favors one race above another. People say, oh, well, the Jews weren't a race, so to speak. Because anyone can be Jewish. You can be black. You can be Oriental. You can be a Jew. But anyway, I see that I am coming to the end of the show. I want to give a shout out to CCO, whoever you are. Thank you for coming on the show. Snowman James. I don't know who he is. He may have been on the show before. I'm not so sure about that. But I appreciate you all. coming on the show, give you a shout out. If you want to come and join the show, hopefully next week, I will have another edition of Black Bicolor Only. I know my times have been at 5:30. Usually I'm at 5 o'clock. I'll probably go back to 5 o'clock starting next week. And, you know, I hope to do this thing every Saturday. You know, if you know anybody who wants to listen to this show or needs to listen to this show, not saying that anybody needs to listen to it, you know, but if you know somebody who would like to listen to the show, you know, bring them on, you know, and folks bring, you know, don't just go by what I say and say, okay, just take it at face value. Go and check out what I'm saying. Just go and check it out. Cause I'm not just up here to bounce my lip all the time, you know, but if you know anybody who needs to listen to the show or wants to, then, you know, invite them on, you know. I'm not looking for a large audience or anything like that. You know, that's not what I'm about here, you know, but, you know, hopefully you can get something out of this program. And I appreciate those of you all who come on here and give me your vocal support and everything. But anyway, this is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You guys have a good week.